Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan.
And it's me, Rachel Lindsay. And we are...
We're live in studio.
Yep.
What's up with your nails?
Do you not like them?
I think they look good.
But they're not quite what I wanted.
What did you want?
I wanted... So,
I could tell.
Anybody who's watching it, they are matted with black tips, but I wanted the mat. The mat's very gray. I wanted it to be more black.
Wanted the mat to be more black.
Yeah.
So you want two different types of black.
Yeah. I want it black and like ebony. Black and
like black
obsidian.
And obsidian. So black and black.
I know how much you love that word. Obsidian.
I went away from gel. I can't do it anymore. I was getting gel manicure.
Oh. You said gel. I heard J-A-I-L.
That's right, because that's how you do it.
I was like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah. Why? What happened? You have a little shine.
I have shine because I got the polish, but I can't get the gel. The gel cracks off.
You should have never gotten the gel. You should have all, for what you get, because it's more about the upkeep of your nails, right?
Right.
Than being healthy. You don't need a gel. You just need a polish. You don't care about the shine of it.
They talked me into the gel.
Who's they?
I mean, the people at the nail place. So I go there, and I think I told this story. I said, I go there. And they don't have the shiny buff. They said they're out of the shiny buff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't actually understand how they could be out of the shiny buff, because the shiny buff is not a product. As I understand it, it's a process.
Okay.
They buff you up until it shines.
Absolutely.
They said, but we can give you gel, and it lasts for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first 4 or 5 days of the gel is great. But then for some reason, my gel be cracking off.
We can talk off mic, and I can give you my girl. My lady. She's a great.
So you're saying that they're doing the gel wrong?
It should not be cracking after 4 to 5 days. And I'm a person who's very rough on their nails.
I box, though.
I'm very rough on my nails.
How are you rough on your nails?
I just am. So I'm telling you.
How are you rough on your nails?
Like, for some people, they're just hard. I don't know. Whatever it is that I'm doing, they break easily. They peel easily. You got to go to my lady.
Who's your lady? Who is she?
Her name is Stella. Shout out to Stella from ES Nail.
Stella from ES Nail.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to... I'm not getting gel anymore, though.
She's not gel.
I'm over that phase.
I use Next Gen, actually.
What's that?
It's a whole thing. It's a Japanese gel. Mm-hmm. It's very great. Like, these are my nails.
Those are your nails?
These are my nails. This is not acrylic.
Oh. This what is does acrylic thing? Mean?
Like, where they put the nail on and
they
do,
like,
all, yeah.
do a whole process?
Mm-hmm. Like, your some nails... of them, like, this one's broken, so it is. And so you can see, but... Like, these are my nails.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps them that way.
Yeah, yeah. She's great. She's fantastic. You have a very interesting shirt on.
It's my shirt. It's
the periodic table of Marvel.
Yeah. How many
very
of these guys
cute.
Do you know?
Well, they look different in cartoon form, so I just want to be very clear about that.
Okay, so let's play the game. Who's that?
Wait.
Who's that?
With the A on his head?
Yeah.
Is that Captain America?
It's Captain America. Ding, that's one.
Okay, if he didn't have the A, I would have never known.
That's him. Who's this?
Okay, the Hulk. Great. That's okay. I recognize.
Who's that under Hulk?
It looks like the Wicked Witch of the
Okay,
East.
Now I want you to really try, because it's very easy. This is the Hulk, and who is that under the Hulk?
Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman is DC. You're upsetting me. So I'm giving
I don't
you,
know a,
I'm giving
a woman
you the easy
in Marvel.
Ones first.
Is that easy?
This person has a show coming out on Disney Plus next month.
Black Widow?
No, look at the person.
I am. She's green.
She's, okay, so this is the Hulk, and this is...
Venom?
Are you fucking with me right
no,
now?
No, I'm not.
Oh, like,
man,
like,
I need
like,
you to understand this is not basic knowledge.
What I'm saying is, wait, I'm giving you clues, though.
No, you're not. I don't know who has a
Rachel,
show coming out.
This is the Hulk.
Yeah.
Green.
Okay.
This is under the Hulk.
What is she called? She-Hulk?
Boom!
That's
How
a
did
real
you get
thing?
That? Yeah, She-Hulk. That's
I've never heard of her in my life.
You did, because why would you say She-Hulk? You could have said Lady Hulk.
Well,
Hulk
no,
woman.
Because if anybody's watching the video, the picture is a green woman under Hulk. So,
right.
If he's a he, then
she's a she.
Yeah.
Okay, who's that?
Oh.
Who's this right here?
Venom.
It's Iron Man.
Why does he look like? That's not
this?
How the Iron Man looks.
How about
the...
this? Venom is not on this bitch. Don't say Venom again. All right, the audio people don't like this bit, but we're going to do a couple more. So obviously you know who
Spider-Man.
That is.
Spider-Man, yes. Spider-Man. Okay.
Okay, do you know who that is?
Well, the name I was going to say is a DC character, so I'm not.
No, you can't say that. It's Daredevil. That's Doctor Strange. That's
Thor.
That's Thor. That's Hawkeye. That's who?
There's two black people. Who are they?
That's Luke Cage. That's Falcon. So that's Anthony Mackie's character right there. You know? This is actually Venom. I just looked over there.
Okay, see, you tried to call me out. I knew Venom was around here somewhere. I don't know who any of the rest of these people are. It's very interesting.
Oh, you know who that guy is?
Black Panther.
Black Panther. Thank you very much, Rachel. God damn it, that was hard.
But he's blue on your shirt. I just want to be clear.
Sometimes when they draw him, he's a little more blue.
Okay.
He looks blue. What did you do this weekend?
I actually had a really good weekend. So I was at a gala on Saturday night for the Marcus Graham Project.
What's that?
And
Marcus Graham from Boomerang?
Yes. And it's all about, so a couple of family friends of mine, I've known them forever. They're friends with my sister, but I grew up with them. They started this organization where they have all these interns that they filter them into different companies, big companies, where they have jobs as, you know, like in the marketing side of things, brand managers, and they get to intern and then they go on and they do things within these organizations. So it's been going on as the 15-year anniversary. And they did it because they based it off of Marcus Graham from Boomerang, because that, if anybody's seen the movie, it's this agency that's black owned.
Yeah.
And but in real life, statistically, black people don't live in these spaces. So right. they started this organization to help young black adults who have a desire to get into this field get there. And 15 years later, here we are. And it was at Paramount Studios, right in front of the fountain outside. It was a beautiful thing. Fonsworth Bentley was the host. He did a fantastic, it's not easy to host. He did a fantastic job hosting. And it was really beautiful to see the impact that they've had, because so many alums came through.
Like who?
I mean, they're not famous, but they were alums of the program.
So they haven't made it yet.
Well, they have in their industries. You had people working for McDonald's. You had people working for LVMH.
Well, Calvin?
They had people. Mm-mm.
Calvin from McDonald's. Calvin is one of the Marcus Graham.
It wasn't Calvin. Wouldn't that be great if I'm like, I found Calvin, y'all. It wasn't Calvin.
We don't talk about Calvin.
We don't talk about him enough. Mm-hmm. What he should, his impact.
Yeah.
But it was really a beautiful thing to see what these two people who I've known forever have done. And so then on Sunday, I hosted a panel. We went to the Paramount Theater on the lot. We watched Boomerang. And then we talked about the cultural impact, but then also some of the themes within the movie. Right. Of like, you know, some of it is beautiful to see black people and their success. We talked about the LA Times article that was written that.
Yeah, we talked about it. We did the rewatchables for Boomerang. We discussed
it. Did y'all do rewatchables?
Yeah, we did.
Y'all didn't have me on? This was a movie I could actually do.
Nah, man. It's too much of a gamble with you.
But y'all should try me. And you know I'm a Robin Givens lookalike. You know I'm a Robin Givens lookalike.
We talked about it. It was brought up. Like, can't do it, though. It's too much of a gamble. Like, hey, Rachel, you want to come do the Color Purple rewatchables? Never saw it. Never heard of it.
And I could have done that.
It's too much of a gamble. But y'all watch Boomerang. So
I feel a certain way.
All of these.
All you rewatchable people, I feel a certain way.
There's no way you can feel any way.
You did it.
Nope.
You could have spoke on my behalf.
There's no way to know what you've seen. Like, this is a game that I'm not playing anymore.
Did you do it?
No. Did I do what?
The rewatchables for this.
I was on it, yeah. It was me and Bill and I think Wesley Morris.
I blame you, and I'm going to go on record. I blame Bill.
There you go. Blame Bill.
I blame Bill. I'm mad at Bill for this.
But how are we? You haven't seen any movie.
You should try me. No, I haven't seen like Marvels and DCs. This
That's
is a black
not true.
Movie. This
like
is
you haven't seen
movie.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I have now. This is a black.
See Love Jones?
I did, yes. And I did interview Keanu Reeves last week as well.
What does he got coming out?
DC premiere. Oh, League
the Super
of Pets.
Pets.
Oh, I said that Super name Pets. Wrong.
Oh, look what just came through. Oh, Credit Karma. Congrats on a score increase of over 120 points. Boom. It's from Credit Karma. I'm not lying. It just came through on the iPad. I'm over 800 now. I'm the man. I'm the man.
I'm not. I'm telling y'all right now, I'm not.
I'm the man. Look, it just came through. Man, shout out to Credit Karma. No ad read. For keeping me straight, I've been looking at it. It's really Kalika. Like, I've been.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know that.
I've been looking at it. I've been looking through it. Mm-hmm. I've opened up several different credit cards. I've paid them all off.
Okay.
I'm doing my thing. Nigga
I'll
got
never
credit.
Hit it. Congratulations to you. That's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I have law school loans and I will not hit it anytime soon.
You have law school loans, so you that's bad on your credit because you're not paying them?
It's not. It's considered good credit, but at the moment, I don't have to pay them right now because all of our loans are in forbearance.
So what else? So finish your beautiful situation about the Marcus Graham project.
Did moderated a panel where we talked about the different themes in the movie, how groundbreaking it was, how people, as beautiful as it was, and it was a celebration of blackness and success and professionalism and showed that we aren't monolithic. There were articles that were written that talked about us in a very negative way.
Right.
And said it was a, quote, a reverse world, as if it wasn't realistic, as if there weren't these black-owned companies out there making millions and some billions of dollars. So we talked about that. We talked about some of the themes. If this movie came out now after the Me Too movement, you know, the way women are portrayed in the movie isn't always in the most positive light.
Like when?
Like the way Eddie Murphy treats women the entire time, the way he objectifies them in the movie. When they're I literally just saw it, so I can point out specific things.
Okay.
Like the fact that he questions Jacqueline, who plays Robin Givens, the moment he meets her. So he tries to hit on her, and then he finds out they're working for the same company, and then he immediately assumes that she is not his taking the role over him.
But that to me and in the film is actually. I feel the film is progressive in that nature.
No. It's because progressive because she is. But
yeah,
it's not progressive in his thought. It's not progressive.
Well, yeah.
Homophobia is an
homophobia
issue in the
movie.
In the movie, the way that Martin talks about women, the way
okay. So this is my problem with this.
Okay,
that shit is real. And,
real. It's just in a different time. 30 years later. So the movie came out 30 years ago. 30 years later, how would the movie be different? Yeah. And if you're questioning that, Lena Waithe did a whole series on BET.
I know, my man was in it.
And it like kind of fixed some of those problematic areas in the way women were objectified. Even the woman that he goes after, a Jacqueline in the movie, right? He's going after her. She's sexy. She's in control. She flips the script on him, which is a beautiful thing to see. Uh-huh. But the woman that he gets with is the woman who's softer.
Not by the end.
Yes, because she takes him back. And in 30 years
because
from now.
Because she takes him back? What do you mean?
30 years from now, Angela wouldn't have taken him back.
See, let me.
30 years from now, Angela would not
have
taken him back.
I have a problem with this.
So Angela's Halle Berry in the movie. Just for people who have never seen Boomerang, if you have not seen it, you should see it. Jacqueline is the boss. She's powerful. She doesn't allow herself to be controlled by certain stereotypes. She's sexual. She watches sports. She drinks beer.
She can outdo him at everything
that
he does.
She is very not what a woman was defined as in 1992.
Yeah.
Halle Berry is the complete opposite of her. She's the nice girl. She is even like, they're afraid she's going to be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
She's just, and he basically uses her for a, in the movie.
He doesn't use her.
Yes, he does, to get back, because as soon as.
You are, this is wild.
He
doesn't use Halle Berry's character.
Okay, spoiler
at all.
Spoiler alert, because I really want to explain it, because I feel like most of our audience probably hasn't seen the movie.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, in the movie, Jacqueline basically is like, we work together. Stop getting so emotional. Stop getting so attached. She basically breaks down this image that he has of himself, that he's this player. He can get any woman that he wants, and he can. But she breaks that down and kind of calls him out. So his reputation at the office goes from being this charming womanizer to like this sad puppy.
Yeah.
So he starts dating Angela Halle Berry, who's the nice girl in all of this, right? And he gets with Angela, and they have a great time, and they're really compatible. And he kind of eases his pain through his relationship with Angela, because the moment that Jacqueline, Robin Givens, is ready to take him back, he jumps right back into it, and he kicks Angela to the curb.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Let me tell you something. This is
I literally just watched it twice in the last 24 hours.
Let me tell you something. This is so indicative of the different way that we see this movie. Number one, he actually doesn't kick Angela to the curb.
Okay. What,
like,
she leaves him.
She leaves him because
he sleeps with
he sleeps with Jacqueline, right? And so this is my point. This movie is ridiculously progressive.
Boomerang is ridiculously progressive in a lot of ways.
Number one, it is taking aim at toxic masculinity and the fact that men feel like they have to control women in love and in other situations. Marcus Graham doesn't have any control in the movie from the moment that Jacqueline comes into the movie. He doesn't even have control with Angela.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't even have control with Angela.
Yes, he does.
The reason why he doesn't have control with Angela, because Angela ends up being the woman that he truly loves. So when Angela, he's with Jacqueline, the second time he goes, I can't do this. Like, I'm in love with her. I can't do it. He can't control himself. Jacqueline brings him down, and then Angela brings him down. He gets broken down twice.
Was there a woman recapping the Rewatchables episode with you guys?
There was not.
Oh!
But let
Bill!
Me tell you. But let me tell you
Bill,
something, though.
This is, we need to do a part two. You should have had, the theme of womanhood is so prominent in this film that you should have had a woman's opinion on this one. I gotta say.
Actually, I would say that there's not that much womanhood in the movie. The movie is about, I don't think so at all. I think it's a very male movie. But it's a movie that subverts that. There's not really a female lead in Boomerang.
Are you kidding me?
Not really.
Are you kidding me?
Eddie, the movie is so much about
Eddie
Marcus Graham.
Eddie is the lead. Absolutely. Yeah. But you can't have the movie without having a Jacqueline. And like, you split almost the lead role between Jacqueline and Hallie. Or Robin Givens and Hallie. And so they're like, you can't have the movie without them. Yeah. They are lead roles. Okay. But then like, he's working for Lady Eloise, which is a woman owned. You've got Grace Jones in there.
Oh, the movie has a lot. To that point, you are correct.
There are a lot of women who are running this movie.
And Marcus is kind of in a woman's world.
And that's why it's progressive, because there's so many women in the office. He is a man in this, and yes, he's in control, but women are running the show. Women are calling the shots.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what makes this movie so progressive, and that's what makes it so great. But at the same time, there are some things that are very problematic. Anyways, so off on this. We'll do a higher learning watch.
You know what, Bill?
We said it before.
We're gonna start doing a higher learning. We're gonna do our own rewatch.
Once a month, we absolutely should.
And then this is the Living Color era of comedy, right?
Yeah.
So obviously there were jokes that would be appropriate for 1992, 1993 that aren't appropriate now. However, I should say that in my opinion, going back and watching the movie, I was actually blown away by just how progressive and forward-thinking the movie was.
It was
very subversive
but
to a lot of...
But this is why y'all should have had a woman in the room who could have given you some of the other side of it. I absolutely think the movie is progressive, but we talked about that, and we talked about, you know, like Black people and professionalism and all of that, and it was a beautiful conversation, and some of the people on that panel, shout out to them, Heather Woodard, she is director of communications with McDonald's. We had DeTavio, CEO of Revolt. We had Dalen Goff, who is taking over Jet Magazine, which made me think of a question for you. And we had Diane Sharp Parks, who is the daughter of Bill Parks, who is Marcus Graham, basically, in real life. So it was a beautiful panel that I got to moderate and have the discussions that we're having now.
Right.
We were able to have on that panel and then talk to some of these young adults who are in this industry. And it really was just powerful. Like, I walked away and I was like, this is so beautiful to see what happens when we come together and having this conversation.
How many people were watching the movie?
Probably like 50.
And y'all all sitting there together watching
it. We all sat and watched it.
Watching them fuck.
And then we all...
They fucking in the
we
movie.
We did. Yeah. Yeah, we did. We
so
watched
y'all
them
all
that.
In together watching the love scene and then y'all...
We did. I don't know what you want me to say to that, but we did.
Pornographic.
Yeah, but it made me think of... So it was really cool to talk to Dalen Goff because he's bringing Jet back to a whole new generation. Page 43.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want to talk about this on the podcast. Of Jet was extremely meaningful in my life. If you guys don't know, Jet Magazine, it came out, I don't even know when it started, but it's such a thing. I don't even know what the word to use in the Black community. And I know as a kid for me.
Staple.
Thank you. Staple in the Black community. It's a small magazine. It
little
like
bitty one.
Fits in your hand. I don't know if any other magazine is the same size as a Jet magazine.
Maybe a Reader's Digest, maybe.
Okay. Small. All right. Shoot. I guess there are some, a Reader's Digest. But for me, it meant so much. My parents, I went to a predominantly white school. My parents subscribed to Ebony and they subscribed to Jet.
That's how you learned about Black people.
And honestly, it was. And God damn. I mean, not just, I shouldn't say it like that, but it was
Rachel,
key.
Rachel. Well, it's 5:30. It's time to read Jet
key,
magazine.
It was key to staying.
This is called an
it was
afro.
Key to staying on point with what was happening in the culture. So obviously, true. My parents and church and my neighborhood were all
of
Black,
Oakland,
and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. But it was cool to see Beauty of the Week. It was cool to see the top songs and albums
yep,
on the
that.
Back page. It was cool to see, you know, Black Love. You had the wedding announcements. You
wedding
had
announcements.
People on the cover. You had different stories. And so it was very key to what was happening in the culture mm-hmm. on a weekly basis.
And there was
basis.
Like a question on the front page. Is Bill Cosby the dad of America? Like, is Michael Jackson the greatest of all time? Michael Jackson on there.
What did Jed mean to you? Or did it?
Oh, it was Beauty of the Week.
Page 43.
Like, to be honest with you, at the point
did
that
you
I,
cut them out? And
at
put
the
them
point,
on your wall?
No, I didn't cut them out.
Okay.
At the point that the Jet Beauty that I realized that it had the Beauty of the Week, the rest of the Jet really didn't matter. You turn right to a Beauty of the Week. Who is it? Where is she from? What does she like to do? Oh, she's from D.C. Oh, she's from Tallahassee, Florida. She went to FAMU. Oh, no.
You know what's interesting? As Jet comes back out, they have to rethink that kind of thing.
They're not
going to
do Beauty of the Week?
I don't know.
Week?
It's a different day and age. It's like, what is beauty? Before, you could do that. And it was just, which also I think about Boomerang, there's certain things that you accept because you were so happy that you were having this moment. You know, uh-huh. Boomerang had the largest budget of any Black film at its time.
Yeah.
And it went on to be wildly successful.
Yeah.
But
staple in the culture.
At the time, you know, that was unheard of, which is why it's so iconic and such a landmark moment. I think with same thing with Beauty of the Week. You didn't see Black women in that way, in bikinis and their beauty being celebrated and put in out in such a public way.
Yeah.
In 2022, somebody's gonna find a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find a problem with everything. You guys find a problem with the movie.
You guys
find a problem with the
when
beauty.
He says you guys, he means women. You women
I didn't say
have
that.
A problem
with
it.
I'm sick of all this goddamn complaining. All right, we're gonna take a pause. We're gonna get back to the super fucked up big deal of the day. They fucking with the kids.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
Okay, big deal of the day. I'm sure you guys have heard of the story. Mm-hmm. Sesame Place in Philadelphia is being called out. There's a mother of two little kids. And is claiming that one of the theme park's employees that was dressed up as Rosita shunned her Black daughters. The video shared by the woman, her name is Jody, shows her two daughters excitedly watching characters parade through the theme park in Philadelphia. We're going to play the video for you right now if you're watching. If you're listening to us, we need you to go and look at the video. When the two women see the character, they try to get a high five. Two little Black girls try to get a high five. Waved off by Rosita. First of all, it wasn't even just a high five. The little girl was walking up to Rosita to get a hug. She's trying to get a hug.
It was a lot.
No hug. And then try to get a high five. Boom. Sesame Place came back and said that the Rosita character was responding to somebody who was asking for the kid to be held. Hold my kid. And it was going, no, I can't do that. But there's another angle where it looks like Rosita walks past them. No hug, no high five. Then walks past them again. These are the little Black kids. No hug, no. You didn't see the second angle?
So, is it the one I sent in the group chat?
No, maybe. No, there's the first angle we see when the characters come in like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second angle when she walks past them again. No fucking high five. Sesame Place is saying that they're very inclusive and this was a mistake. You watched it, Rachel. Do you think it was a mistake what Rosita did?
Excuse my language because we're talking about Sesame Street, but this is fucked up. And it really made me sad to see. Like, It really did, because I just keep putting myself in the place of the mother and those two children. And this is something, maybe the kids, when kids are young, sometimes they don't realize certain things, but maybe it did. And this is something that is going to, let's just say that they did realize it. It is something that they will remember forever. It was so blatant. And the fact that—
Something that they'll remember forever?
If they recognized what was happening.
Oh, yeah, that they would get that race. Oh, okay, I see what you mean. If they understood the racism, right. They're gonna, for the rest of their lives, they're going to be like, you know, one time I went to, yeah, I get
it. Yeah, and they might not, because sometimes things just go over at children's heads. But if they did, let's just operate in a world where they understood, because you saw it on their faces. In the moment, they were hurt.
Yeah.
You saw it. They recognized that they were passed over. They were reaching out to this beloved figure to them, and the figure looked down, shook her hand over them, like, yeah. nah, and walked
you.
Away.
Right.
Right. And within 2 seconds before that, though, was, you know, giving high fives and hugs to people. It like hurt my heart to see these kids rejected in a certain way. Like, we know as Black people that we will be rejected time and time again, and the world will reject us, and society will reject us, and like, and whatever, and we can understand that and maybe handle it a little better as adults. But as children, to learn that lesson at such a young age and to be rejected in such a public way by somebody you adore so much, Rosita, is hard. I will remember, I'm not going to name the athlete, but I was a kid and I was a big fan of this athlete. And
who did you play for?
And I went to a book signing.
Who did you play for?
And I was so excited to go, and my mom went
with
me.
Why do y'all protect these people?
And my mom went with me. And we waited in line for a long time, and she did it for me because I was such a sports fan. Uh-huh. And when I got up to the line and I had my book, I held my book and I sat it down, and I was just like waiting for this individual to make eye contact with me and acknowledge me. And they signed the book and just passed it down. Didn't say hello, didn't look at me. And I was 7 or 8. And I'll never forget that. And I remember, because I'm dramatic, I took the book and I threw it away.
You're kind of bugging on that.
I'm so dramatic. But they didn't. I'm a kid. And being in a position now where people, I am in on no means on that person's level, but being in a position where there are people who admire what you do and want acknowledgement. Sorry, Van's laughing at me, but it's true.
I agree with you.
There's just something where I am so tuned in when it's a child.
It would
child.
Have taken a half a second for that person to connect with you and make a memory for
I waited in line for
yeah.
This was a person who was my hero.
Right.
And I just—
Are they still relevant today?
And I've seen this person now doing what I do multiple times.
You didn't tell him the story?
No.
Oh, fuck that. I would have definitely—
But my point is—
Yeah.
It stood out to me at 7 or 8.
And so it's—
And I think that's why
it.
Like, when I saw this, it just hit so hard, because they probably will remember that, because I remember it when it happened to me, waiting that whole time to see that one person, and then they diss you. So it's just despicable. And the statement from Sesame Street is even worse, because it's like, you don't know who sits inside of that costume. You don't know what their beliefs are. There are multiple videos now coming out showing this same character dissing other Black children. And so it's like, y'all have to do better than this. You just have to acknowledge the fact that you made a mistake in hiring this person who's clearly racist towards Black children.
So, Sesame Place, the costumes our performers wear sometimes make it difficult to see at lower levels.
Fuck that!
And sometimes our performers miss hug requests from guests. The performer portraying the Rosita character has confirmed that the no hand gestures seen several times in the video was not directed to any specific person, whether it was a response, like I said earlier, to multiple requests from someone in the crowd who asked Rosita to hold their child for a photo. Okay, which is not permitted. So, okay. So here's the thing. I think this is a very important moment. It's an important moment in the life of the kids, of course, like you say, but it's an important moment for us as well, because we say shit a lot of times and people think that we're making it up, right?
Yes.
So we say stuff and people think, come on, man.
You're being sensitive.
So you say stuff like, hey, man, I remember going to Sesame Place, Philadelphia, when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And there was this character, Rosita, Latinx character, like, you know, Black love, brown pride, like Tupac said, we're together. I remember trying to get a hug, and they hugged all the other white kids, but they didn't hug us. And I'm still wondering. And you say stuff like that years later, and people go, that's your trauma talking. Mm-hmm. That's you. That's your problem. You're making this up. And we keep trying to say, yo, we're not making it up.
Right.
Shit fucking goes down. Now, in this situation, I will say this. Donnie knows. Me and Donnie found something. We found a commercial. Okay?
Okay.
And if anyone has seen this commercial, I want people to watch this commercial. If anyone's seen this commercial, I personally think we should have expected this from Sesame Place. Go ahead, Donnie. Come on down to Sesame Place. What the only little brownies we accept are the ones who came straight from Betty Crocker, who was a white woman. That's right. As long as your kids have ancestors who owned slaves, we're down to play with them and love them up. If not, leave them home because we got metal detectors. Yeah! That's an actual Sesame Place Philadelphia commercial.
For anybody who like, might have been watching the footage, you would have seen Van mouthing the words to the commercial.
Because I watch it so many times. Look, look. There's a lot of people out here.
Donnie, you need to stop playing into the things that Van asked you to do.
So here's the thing. What y'all don't understand is that Donnie is like, Donnie is with me on this. Every time I come up with a new harebrained idea for Donnie, Donnie's like, okay, this is what we could do. Me and Donnie are cooking something up. We did it earlier. That's a real commercial from Sesame Place. So look, the question now becomes, obviously, I mean, we could talk about the years and years of microaggressions, and this is not so much a microaggression as this is an actual aggression. Let's do this. So I'll do this. Let's say that in some realm, this is a mistake.
Okay.
Let's just go with that. Let's say in some realm, in some...
Sure, we can play that.
Place, let's play that. That this is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change what Sesame Place has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing that's more important than anything here is how the kids feel. These are not adults. Right. Adults, sometimes you got to look at an adult and you got to say, hey, fuck your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
With a child, that's not important. With a child, it's important to me, at least. I don't have any children, but I see them in Target and other places. I don't have any children. But with a child, it's very important that we teach them that their feelings matter.
Right.
Like, we teach them that we're providing a structure for them, a place in the world where their feelings matter, where they can express themselves. So these children felt a certain way. Now, I don't know if they had enough scar tissue on their brains yet to think racism. And you just noticed the sign?
100%.
You just noticed the sign? I don't know if they've had enough life experience to say racism. Now they'll feel racism, obviously. And that's another thing that we can talk about in terms of the conversation around this. But Sesame Place has to make sure that these kids know that they're welcome there and that other little black and brown kids know that they're welcome there too. It is not something unfair for this company to have to do.
Right.
It's their job to be welcoming to children.
Mm-hmm.
These two children were put in a situation where they don't feel welcome. The question now becomes, Sesame Place, beyond statements defending yourself, what are you prepared to do to make these kids feel welcome?
Yeah.
I said, really, they should blow the whole fucking budget on them. They want to come back to Sesame Place. They should be able to stay in Sesame. They should be able to go Sesame fucking crazy. Because this Sesame, I'm not taking, look, nigga, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm not taking racism from Sesame Street. I'm not accepting it. Like,
we shouldn't.
We've accepted racism a lot of places, let's be honest, man. The fucking Waffle House. You know, all kinds of, I'm not fucking taking it from fucking Big Bird. Y'all gonna get right. If Sesame Place don't make this right, it's foot on the neck of Sesame Place for as long as it has to be. This is, has to be done. These are the children. We need their brains to form right.
Well, it's just so opposite from what Sesame Street stands for. And I guess it was what made this whole situation blow up even more. Obviously, the act of it is ridiculous, but the response from Sesame Street was so un-Sesame Street-like.
You're throwing the whole street in.
Is it not the whole thing? Is it not the same thing? Your commercial had Sesame Street written down.
It had Sesame Place. Oscar the Grouch had nothing to do with this, and neither did Snuffleupagus.
So Sesame Place is everything.
Sesame Place is a theme park that's Sesame Street themed.
Okay, it's the same thing. I don't have time for this. I didn't watch it. I'm going to be very honest with y'all. I didn't grow up watching Sesame Street. I'm not into the characters.
Man, what's up with your parents, man?
I find Muppets and Puppets very disturbing.
Did you watch Fraggle Rock?
And I found it terrifying. My sister, my older sister, watched it. I'm familiar with. I didn't watch Alf. I don't like that stuff. I find it extremely disturbing.
Alf was different. Alf was.
Alf
had a sex addiction.
I don't know enough about it to speak on that. Yeah, Alf was all. I want to see it in an animated space. I don't want to see the puppets. Gotcha. I'm just very bothered by it. Anyways, it's very anti whatever you want to call it. What's the correct? Should I say Sesame Place? It's very anti Sesame Place. So to me, this was a no-brainer, and it should have been very easy for Sesame Place to say, "We are not. We are going to investigate what happened with that person in that costume." Because you're talking to adults now at this point. Yeah. You don't have to pretend like Santa Claus is real or that kind of thing. Just say we're going to investigate and we're going to understand what happens. Why are you going so hard trying to defend that individual when it's very obvious what happened in that video from multiple angles, when you don't even know the personal beliefs of that person? To me, it should have been like, we're handling it. We're going to take care of it. We're going to reach out to these children. We're going to make it right. And we're going to make sure no other children who looks like them or any other race feels this way again, because that's not what Sesame Place represents.
Absolutely.
This was easy.
It's easy fix. And by the way, it's just, like we said, it's important that we go the extra mile to make little black kids feel welcome in the world. Like, feel welcome in the world. These are two little black kids. They just want to hug these characters that we see. There's two things that they can do. Seriously. I see two ways that Sesame Place can make this up.
Okay.
One is to open the park up, bring those little kids back out, let them have a good time, get as many hugs as they want.
This was a park? I thought it was a parade. I'm so sorry. I thought it was a parade.
It looks like a parade in the park.
Okay.
You ever go to a theme park before?
I have, but I didn't know Sesame Place had its own.
But they got parades sometimes that happen in theme parks. All kinds of things happen in theme parks.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
Or there's something else they can do. We can round up maybe 40, 60 black adults, and they can let us go to the park and just beat the fucking shit.
Let's go with the former.
Out of all of the characters.
Let's go with the
like,
former.
Like, get our fucking angst out. You know, while the little girls, like, watch. They can ride rides, and they don't have to say what's up, sorry, to the little girls. They can let us go up there, because I'm ready to go. And just let us beat the fuck, because I tell you one thing, beating up mascots and seeing them beat up is hilarious.
It's going to be traumatizing for children who look
at No. They're not going to watch us beat up. They're not going to watch us beat them up. I want a piece of Rosita. I'm not going to lie. Like, for me, I don't know who's in there, but hopefully it's not a lady. But if it's a lady, I'll get Ebony
That's
on.
That's a lady. I was going to say. Or me. Listen, it's hard enough that our children have to face things from human beings, but the fact that now they have to deal with it from fictionalized characters is what makes this whole thing worse.
We'll see what Sesame Place does. Obviously, what Sesame Place has said now is not going to work.
Right.
Got to go a little bit further. Okay? You guys saw the commercial. You know that there's a history. So the reality is, Sesame Place, this doesn't have to be the biggest thing in the world. It can be something that you move on from, but you got to do the right thing.
Right.
Got to make a good world for little black kids. We're going to take a break. All right. Coming up next, guys, we have Amber Rose. We told you we would have Amber Rose on the podcast. Amber Rose is going to join us on Higher Learning. I'm picking the polish off of my nails.
I know. Please stop doing that. It bugs me, because then you shouldn't do it.
Shouldn't do
it's
what?
It's a waste. Well, you shouldn't take the time off to put it. It's not coming. It's coming off because you're picking it off.
It's not. It's coming off.
Anyways, we get to Amber?
We got Amber Rose. You guys, welcome to Higher Learning. Again, we have Amber Rose joining us right now. Higher Learning, give it up for Amber Rose.
She
just walked in the building. Do you know you're our first in person guest? That
yes,
really.
Yes,
it's all been Zoom since before here, before now.
Oh right, yeah. I follow you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the shoes? Tell me.
Vetements.
What's that?
Like a designer brand.
But I don't even, how can it be something that you have and I don't even know about it?
Because you're wearing a Periodic Table of Marvel t-shirt. So I think people know that fashion is not your forte.
You just fucked over me for no reason.
I'm just pointing out the obvious. Man, you can't be great at everything, Van. That's not your thing. That's fine.
True. Amber, what's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really good. Are you?
I'm good. What is good for Amber Rose?
Happy.
Yay.
Mm. Yeah, happy is a wonderful thing. And healthy.
Happy and healthy.
Yeah.
What's been key to for you to get to that place? Because so many people are aspiring, self included. Like, some days I'm happy, some days I'm not. Not always healthy. Because I have a feeling when you say that, you mean mentally and physically. So if you can talk about your road to getting there.
Yeah, I feel like in order for me to get where I am now, I had to really just be exactly who I am up here. Mm. And when, you know, for non-famous people, it's hard. So for famous people, it's even harder, right? Because you have like this persona or I don't know, the perception of who people think you are. Mm-hmm. And you try to live up to that. And then I just got to the point where I was just like, you know, I just got to be me. I got to do whatever makes me happy. And that's what I'm going to do. And I just start doing that. I mean, I know it sounds simple, but
no,
I really start doing that unapologetically.
Can I ask a follow up really quickly? Was that scary for you to do?
Yes and no, because I've always been like Amber. Mm-hmm. And then when I became famous, that's when all the shit started. You know, it was like, you have to dress like this. You have to say things like this. You have to be super politically correct. And like,
who told you these things, Amber?
Just the inner circles. Yeah, they.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, you know, you get like a publicist and like, you, and then you're just like, yo, that's not who I am. Why do I have to fucking act like I'm somebody that I'm not?
Mm-hmm.
And it became very frustrating for a long time.
Why do you think you're famous?
I'll tell you something. When I was in Philly, I would get on the bus and people would ask me for an autograph. I swear to God on my children. And I was just a regular girl from South
Philly.
This
was before.
This was when I was 16 years old.
Oh, right. Wow.
And I lie to you not, I am not exaggerating. I'm not saying this with any ego. I swear to God, people would ask me for my autograph and they would be like, you're going to be somebody one day. You look famous. You look, I don't know. To answer that question, I don't know.
Hmm. What, like?
Hold on. I have a follow-up to that.
Sure, go for it.
So, because it's funny, I did an interview earlier. I had a lot of interviews today. Mm-hmm. There was no one before me to say, oh, I want to be like that girl and take these steps to get to where she's at. Either they were a singer or an actress.
Right.
Or had talent.
Yeah.
Right? So when I got into the entertainment business, it was literally
no blueprint.
It was an accident. Mm-hmm.
Right. So I guess for me is, so you don't know, what do you feel like the significance of your fame is?
The significance of my fame? I don't know, man. I mean, I can honestly say it. Like, you're saying initially?
No, I mean, like people are famous for all kinds of reasons, right? And normally when somebody gets like this type of notoriety, it's like they, like, for example.
What are you famous for?
What am I famous for? Really? I got something in common with Amber.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like, what I'm famous for is like a moment that inspired a lot of people. I was on TV before that, but I had a moment with, you know, this guy that we know. And it inspired a lot of people. And from then, I was given a platform. I feel like the significance of that.
I disagree.
You disagree.
I knew you way before that.
I know.
A lot of people did, though.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it turned a corner then, you know?
Yeah, but you could say that about anyone, right? So everyone that's famous, whether they're, you know, uber famous, they had the one director that was like, I want you to be in the movie. So everything is a stepping stone in life. We don't owe people our lives, because if we sustain that, that's us.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So like, there's people that come and go, but if you have a voice and a platform and you decide to, you know, stay with it and be able to talk to people and have communications with people, like, that's a talent in itself.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody that you were coming on the podcast because I was excited about it. And they said, well, she's like the first influencer. And I was like, I don't consider herself, like, I don't know, because when I think of an influencer, I think of somebody who's on social media, just like posting pictures. But to me, you, because you were the first in what you did in so many ways, I saw you more than that. Yes, sure, you influence people and a culture and maybe like a school of thought, but I didn't look at you as an influencer. Do you see yourself in that way?
My focus are cutting all their hair off.
But no, sure. Yeah, I mean, but I like, I guess I looked,
for sure.
Right. But I guess I was looking at, I'm boxing in influencer, maybe in the terms that we look at it today. I thought you more than that. Do you see, would you call yourself an influencer?
An influencer? No, I don't want to be an influencer.
Yeah, see? That's how I see it.
I just want to be me. And then if you fuck with me and you fuck with the things that I'm saying and you want to follow that, that's cool. If not, I'm cool with that too.
Yeah.
I don't want to like...
I want to be me and you do you.
That's it.
Yeah. And if you rock with me, you don't. And if you do, you, yeah.
I don't want to say I'm an influencer, because then it's like, I don't want to influence people. I just want to be me. And if you fuck with it, then that's cool.
Well, then let me piggyback on that, because... what I have loved what you've done with the slut walk and taking something that people, words and phrases people tried to put on you in a negative way, and you took power in it and you were like, no, I'm going to take it as this because this is who I am. I'm going to take this negativity and turn it into something else. Right. I think that's influential. I loved that you did that. Would you consider yourself an influencer in that way? Like, what would you describe that move, the movement? It's not that movement. It's still present. Like, what you're doing with that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the gay community has been doing that for years, you know, fighting against derogatory labels where young teens were committing suicide, getting bullied in school from the F word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's homophobia, racism, you know, sexism. It's all in the same realm. So I'm just fighting the good fight for women, but I'm not the first, nor will I be the last, but I'm happy to be a part of it.
Let's talk about Get Your Hoe On. Okay. Couple of things.
Yes.
I've seen responses across the gamut. All right. Let me just give you all the responses. Because I'm from Louisiana.
Okay.
All right. We take our Cash Money Records very seriously.
Okay.
There was homies that hit me up. Like, what the fuck is Fresh doing? What the fuck? What? It's a classic.
It's 22 years old. They need to get over it.
Damn, is it 22 years old?
Yeah, it's 22 years old. It's a that's what makes it a classic.
All right, but I mean, come on.
Was there any part of you that thought that maybe you should leave a classic like Get Your Roll On alone?
No, I love to piss people off. That's my thing.
I do too.
Why make the song? What does Get Your Hoe On mean? What does it mean to get your hoe on?
Get your hoe on means dance with no shame, live with no shame, date with no shame, and live your best fucking life. Because if you don't and you hold back, they'll probably call you a hoe anyway. So don't let it bother you. Just get your hoe on, girl. Live your best
girl
life.
Girl or guys? What? Could guys get their hoe
everybody.
On?
Everybody.
So everybody.
It's fluid.
You say everybody get your hoe on. So a lot of people would say.
Well, I say all my bitches.
You say all my bitches.
That's what I say.
Okay. So you're talking specifically to women.
No. Men can be bitches too.
I'm asking because a lot of people would say that as far as us fellas, we already been getting our hoe on.
Well, listen. It's like the argument of like Black Lives Matter. And then people are like, but all lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let us have our moment. So y'all do what y'all want to do.
Get your hoe on is for the ladies.
And the LGBTQ community.
And the LGBTQ community. So let me ask you this. There's a lot of people who think the message is unhealthy because they have a negative connotation.
Don't listen.
On hoeing. Is hoeing healthy?
But that's the thing. When if you're talking to somebody stupid, right? They're going to say, she's promiscuous. She's telling little girls to go out and have sex all day. Y'all know that's not what I'm saying.
Come on. So define hoeing for the stupid people.
Hoeing is having control of your own body. In this political climate, we do not even have control of our own body.
Mm. Very true.
Why can we not have a song to celebrate us and us be able to do whatever we want with our bodies? And that's also not having sex and saying no. Not being forced to be with somebody because you feel obligated because you told them to come over and you changed your mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't take get your hoe on so literally. Like, I want you to go outside and you know, walk up to a car and get money in exchange for sex.
Right.
It's just some shit I just need y'all to know. Not y'all, but, like, just people. It's like, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The lyrics of the song are sexual. Sex.
Some.
Wet pussy we slang.
We're sexual beings, and that's okay.
I agree with you. I'm wondering if you, when you make a song, when you're in there and you're going, I'm going to make the song, get your hoe on. If you're thinking about the people's buttons who you need to push in order to get the message out there. are you knowing that you're going to fuck with people?
Oh, yeah. I love every minute.
She's confrontational. I love it so much.
Oh, it makes me like orgasm.
When you piss people off, that makes
My God, I feel the tingles all over my body. I love it.
So everybody that's
pissed, I'm not a troll though.
Everybody seems a little trollish.
I'm not a troll.
But everybody that's
I'm
like,
more masochistic. Is that how you say masochistic?
Like a masochist. Yeah.
So what you're saying is you open up your shit. You're on Instagram. I fucking hate Amber Rose, and you're like,
Yeah. Exactly how I feel.
Getting Manny on the track, was that a process?
Nope.
Or was okay?
I hit him in a DM. I said, yo, let's get your hoe on, put over, get your roll on beat. He said, that's the best thing I ever fucking heard.
Yeah.
And then he was like, come down to Houston. He lives in Houston now. He was like, come down to Houston. We were at his house. We ate. We was in the studio. He reproduced the whole thing.
Really?
Yep. It is not a loop or
I could tell it's interpolation.
Yeah, interpolation. Yeah. Yeah, he reproduced the whole thing. And he was just like, this shit. And he even hit me after because there was blogs like Amber gets torn apart on Twitter. And I went on Twitter. It was like three tweets that said they didn't like it. Every other tweet was like, this shit's a bop. This shit's hard. He was like, look, you know, if people ain't talking about you, you ain't doing nothing. Right. So he loved it. He loves it still. He's very happy.
Have you ever been embarrassed about anything? Like, so much of your life has been out there, right?
But I get embarrassed about shit that like more personal conversations or like personal shit that I've done. Like, I'll wake up 3:00 in the morning and be like, why the fuck did I do that in 2012?
Like what?
Like, just, I don't know if I, like, just said something out of turn that was just stupid. And then I would just go home and be like, why the fuck did I say that?
So to piggyback on that, do you regret anything that you've done? Maybe you didn't embarrass you, but maybe
offhand,
like.
I can't really think of anything, no.
Yeah.
No, everything was a learning experience for me.
So this is my question about Get Your Hoe On. Is there a sequel? Do you plan to go back to the well and take another hip hop classic and make it into a sex positive anthem?
Not right now.
Are you planning on starting a rap career?
My album is done.
Your album is done.
I was working on my album the last time I talked to you when you asked me if I was a rapper and I looked over and then I was like, nah.
What year was this?
This was like 2019 or something.
I've been working on my album for 2 years.
So I remember that. And I remember you. I remember going, are you about to use? Because you was dressed like a rapper then. Amber had the velour on. She had the chain. I'm like, you was dressed like a rapper then. I'm like, you're going to start rapping. So you're seriously going to start rapping now?
I literally was rapping back then.
But it doesn't matter unless you put the music out, Amber.
But yeah. She did. She just did.
She just did. So I'm saying the album's coming out. This is the first single. What's the name of the album?
I can't say that right
well,
now.
Well, give us something. You gotta tell like us something. Features. Maybe no. What's the...
Can't
the
features.
Maybe what's the...
Like just the, know that this was not a overnight thing. Uh-huh. I've been quiet on purpose. Uh-huh. I sat in the studio day and night. Uh-huh. I have a good ear. I've A&R'd a bunch of amazing projects.
You've A&R'd a bunch of projects?
Oh, yeah.
Like, give me an example. Like, what have you A&R'd?
All my boyfriends. All of them. Mm.
You've A&R'd for all your boyfriends?
All of them.
You've A&R'd for Ye?
Absolutely.
You've A&R'd for
I put
Wiz.
Nicki on Monster. I put Nicki on Monster.
You could just stop there. You can stop there, right?
I put Nicki on Monster. He didn't know who Nicki was back then. I had Nicki pull up to the studio and I put her on Monster.
Because you guys were, yeah, I think me, you, and Anne, you guys were super close at that particular time, right?
Right, but she was still coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
And I saw her in the studio and I said, oh my God, this bitch is fucking talented as hell. And then I went back to Kanye and I was like, you need to get this girl Nicki on Monster. And he was like, who, what? No, I'm not, no, mm-mm. And I said, just let her pull up. What's it gonna hurt?
She did a thing.
So he didn't listen to anything that she had done. She just pulled up and like with that verse.
Well, she pulled up and we all had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
She heard the song and then she came back the next day with the verse.
And he almost wanted to take the verse off.
Because it was too good.
It was too good.
He slid on that bitch.
Yeah, he told me that the same day. He's like, how the fuck did you bring in a bitch that killed me on my own song?
Did you have to convince him to keep the verse on the song?
I don't remember that part. Mm. It's a long time ago, man.
Very long time ago. I remember that, man. I was a young man then. So but for Wiz and 21 too, you helped them with their music? Like,
yeah, I feel like if you're in the studio and you're like, yo, here's this old song that you should probably get somebody to sample. Or, you know, I don't think you should repeat that line again. It's too repetitive. It's just not. Or maybe if you count by numbers, most of those songs work.
For your album, wait, when is it dropping?
I'm just saying, those are things that I have
you've contributed to like...
I believe it. Because you're probably in the studio so much.
But
right?
Babe, I'm also from South Philly. I grew up in a diner. My mother was a waitress. Mm. So I sat, we were very poor. They let me have a booth at the restaurant with my little coloring books. And all I heard was music all day long. So am I attracted to creativity and music? Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. But I'm also happy now that I have the means to do it independently. Mm-hmm. I don't need a 360 deal. I don't need money. I already have my own money.
Mm-hmm.
So I could put out songs when I want. I could put out my album when I want. Mm-hmm. Everything is like mine.
Who's your inspiration? Like what rappers are you looking at that you're like maybe inspired by or pulled, like when you were sitting in that diner, like who is it that was influential to you that you're taking and you're putting in your own album?
A few people. Lil Kim, Madonna, Eminem, Marilyn Manson, System of a Down.
What the fuck?
And Rick Ross.
You know, I love all of these people, but you all over the place.
That's what makes it different.
My album is genre bending.
So you got some rock on there?
I have everything you could ever need and want, man.
You feel like you're going to have the album of the year?
Is it dropping in 2022?
Like, yeah. I know my shit is hard.
You know it's hard.
100%. I'll let you hear my album outside when we're done.
Amber, I want you to be ready for the fact that a lot of people aren't ready for you to come into the rap game. You're going to get a lot of blowback for this.
Who cares?
She loves
it. I've been dealing with that shit for 10 years. I sleep like a baby.
How are you in AE right now?
Good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Like, there was some ups and downs.
A lot.
And now you guys are up again.
Yes, for the most part, Yeah. It's complicated.
What does that mean?
It's just a lot. It's layers.
What are the layers?
That's a lot of layers, man.
What's the layers?
It's just personal layers that, like, you know, it takes a long time to break all that down. Mm. I will say this, and this is no excuse to hurt people or break hearts or be a fucking asshole, right? But a lot of men, and I've noticed this throughout the years, Black, white, Asian, Spanish, don't matter. A lot of men don't have positive male role models in their lives growing up, right? And it affects them in ways that is detrimental to like their mind and their body and the outside world and their friends and everything. Just they don't know how to keep it together because they never had a man that said, this is how it's supposed to be. So I'm all for guys. And this is another misconception about me. I've heard people say, well, like, you don't want guys to get their hoe on, but like girls can. But it's like, no, I want guys to get their hoe on. But be a compassionate hoe. I'm a compassionate hoe. I don't fuck married men and men in relationships and men with babies on the way and all that. I don't do shit like that.
Right. Right.
Be a compassionate hoe.
A hoe with morals. That's what she said.
What's compassionate hoeing? Tell us what compassionate hoeing.
Compassionate hoeing is, it's like, you know, if you want to live your best life and do what you want with your body, that is okay. But don't hurt people.
That's
be
it.
A good person.
That's it.
I'm a good person. I don't hurt people, man. I don't. Mm. I don't. I don't cheat. I don't lie. If I'm done with a relationship, I'm honest about it. I don't go out and find somebody new before I leave that person. Like, I'm just, you know, so I feel like, and not only with AE, my baby daddy, most of my relationships, most men in general, I have brothers, I have sons. It's a sausage party at my house every day. I'm the only girl, mm-hmm. you know, my security, my assistant, my team, they're all men. So I have a lot of these conversations.
Lyrically, when we see you, I mean, like you said, the album's done. But lyrically, when we get to hear these songs, will you tap into not just the misconceptions that people have of you, but maybe like a side of you that people don't normally get to see? Will you go there?
Musically, I mean, I just do what feels right in that moment. Mm-hmm. So I don't really. I feel like I'm an open book. I mean, there's not much else to really know about me. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Remember, I worked at the office, so I know it all.
Yeah.
But I think, like, maybe the things people don't know about you, right? Like, not what they see on social, not what they watch. Like, when you're at home, you know what I mean? Like, and you're with the kids. And it's like the stuff that people don't see. Like, will you maybe tap into that? When they maybe, because I feel like people think they know you, but they maybe necessarily don't.
They definitely do not know.
Yeah.
Me.
So I'm saying, will we get that?
Probably not.
In your lyrics. Okay.
I don't want nobody in my house.
What don't they know? How you are about you're so open. What are the secrets that Amber Rose keeps?
I'm allergic to cilantro.
Oh,
that's
no.
Yeah.
Why, like?
I like to sleep with socks on, like, no. And my pants tucked in my socks.
Oh, nigga, you weird.
I literally have to. I will not sleep all night. I will be up all night if I don't have my pants tucked into my socks.
First of all,
I will not sleep naked either. I don't give a fuck.
So let's talk about this real quick.
There's some secrets about me.
I've recently discovered sleeping naked.
How do you recently discover this?
Was it hot?
How's that an accident?
So listen, it was hot, and I'm like, fuck it. It's actually very liberating, Amber.
I'm good.
I couldn't sleep with full pants on. You got to at least have shorts.
I can't sleep with socks on.
I would never sleep in shorts or just underwear or just naked. I will. I have full pajama sets. Like,
okay.
Full on.
But like
matching sets. With the socks to match.
This might be personal, but like, let's say you're intimate with someone and you fall asleep.
I don't.
Okay.
I will not.
You don't fall asleep. So you, it's like, I mean, you said intimate. I'm just going to say fucking. So if you're in a situation, You guys are fucking, you're having sex.
Yeah.
You can't just fall asleep. You're not
naked?
Naked.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
You're gonna get up and you're gonna go put something.
I'm gonna wash up.
Wash up.
I'm a, you know, feel clean.
What's the wash up situation like? What's like what
I'll
do
probably
do?
Just a quick shower.
Take a shower.
I'm gonna assume that I would probably get in the shower before. I'm very clean with my body.
Yeah.
And then put on my pajamas and tuck my socks into my pants into my socks.
Now if you're at his house.
I will probably pack a bag with my pajamas in my.
You already know it's go time.
Listen, I will not sleep. I refuse to sleep uncomfortably. I won't do it.
I'm like in shock. I would be so. I feel like I'm suffocating with socks on.
Have to. And I can't have a break between my pants and my socks.
Guys.
Why?
I will wake up in 1 second.
So you have to feel a complete.
So you gotta think. Okay, so I grew up with a black mom. Single mom. And my
Rachel,
mother,
Rachel didn't. Rachel said you ain't black.
I said I did not know that. He had Amber, to educate me.
Let's keep it all the way.
He had to educate
white,
me.
I'm white passing.
You probably get that
passing.
A lot. Amber, in my defense, I literally said no. I'm very. I literally was like, no, she's not. She's white. Look, I flat out said that. I had no idea.
I am white passing.
But you're black.
Yes.
And I had she no idea.
As well, I have a white father.
I had no idea. He had to educate me.
Yeah.
You don't. But you don't talk to the white father.
Yeah.
Oh, you talk to him.
Yeah, I talk to my dad. I love my dad.
So what does he teach you? Does he teach you about whiteness? Like
he don't teach me about whiteness.
He doesn't tell you like, hey.
Well, my dad has three children of color. My dad is not a regular white guy.
Your dad's a dark shark. He likes him a little bit.
I've never heard that.
He's a dark shark.
Your dad's a dark shark. He likes him. He likes a little chocolate.
Yeah. Well, my stepmom is from Panama, but she's
black.
Yeah.
Like Afro-Latina.
Yes.
What is? I never hear about your dad. Like we talked about your mom the last time. I never hear about your dad. What's his thing?
Well, this might contradict what I just
tell
said.
Tell us about your father, because a lot of people would look and they would say, "Does Amber Rose have father issues?" Because anytime a woman is down with the hoeing, they go, "Oh my God,
I do not have daddy issues."
She must have an issue with her dad. Tell us about your father.
So, the reason why it's difficult for me to explain is that me and my mother had a really great relationship mm-hmm. growing up. And I was going to say, my mother always tucked me in and tucked my feet under. And she was very like, made sure I was warm. So now.
Security.
Yeah, that's my security. So my socks and my pants are my security.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. I feel like my mom made mistakes and I'm not mad at her for that. Mm-hmm. Most of my life, my mom said my dad really didn't give a fuck about me. He did. But he was in the military. He was gone a lot. And so my mom and dad got divorced when I was 6. And then I went to live with him in Colorado for 1 year when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And I had no respect for him because all I heard my whole life was your dad ain't shit. Fuck him, you know. And so I was like, you ain't shit. But I was just disrespectful. Little ghetto ass bitch. And as I got older, me and my dad got a lot closer. Hence why, you know, people would be like, well, if she had a dad, then why was she a stripper? And why was she, you know, poor in the neighborhood with her mom in Philly? So that's kind of how it all went down. My dad definitely tried his best to be around as much as he could, but he was always shipped off to Germany or Norway or Panama. Where we met my stepmom 30 mm-hmm. years ago. So, so now we are very close.
The whole family?
No, I go see my dad separate and I see my mom separate.
Oh, yeah. But you're close with both of them, I mean.
My mom and dad, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
How are the kids?
Wonderful. Getting big.
How old
is Bash? Yeah.
9.
Damn.
9.
Damn.
I know. And Slash will be 3 in October.
God damn. What the fuck?
Like 9. When's he? It's like he's going to college tomorrow. What does he want to be? Like, does he want to be in music? Does he like talk about that now? Does
you know, my kids are very interesting, like their mother. They're very, very interesting kids. So we're all genetically, and I'm telling you, this is genetic, okay? I'm obsessed with gore. Like, full on, like, blood, guts, brain splattered. Like,
Amber, what's up with you, man?
Those are the
types. I like horror.
Like, so
I've been knowing you. And people will say stuff, I'll be like, y'all don't know Amber. I'm starting to believe what they say.
You wanted to know personal you did. Things about me.
No, this come on. Keep going. I like scary. I like horror stuff, so this doesn't bother me.
I'm a very eclectic person. So, yeah, I like shit like that. Both of my kids came out same way. I didn't introduce them to nothing. They just love it. So we have all fake blood that we like just put all over our faces, and we run around the house like zombies. And Slash is obsessed with skeletons, human anatomy, organs. He has all the little jelly organs and stuff. Ghosts, goblins, and zombies.
I think it's cute.
All day though. Like it's all like day. Halloween all year round.
All day. I have no thoughts.
You can't say shit.
Yeah, I have no thoughts. I mean, like for me, I was scared of that type of shit. I was very afraid of Freddy Krueger and all of that type of shit.
Freddy's pretty scary.
He's very scary.
I have not watched Freddy with Bash yet, but we watched Chucky and you know shit like
Chucky's
that.
Funny because Chucky's funny
yeah,
though.
Chucky's a bitch, but like Freddy looked like Freddy was terrifying, and Freddy looked like everybody listens to the podcast knows this. Rachel actually showed up on Halloween as Freddy and freaked me the fuck out.
I love scary stuff.
Like, me too.
Freddy is having a good time slashing your shit up.
Yeah. Well, my favorite part is when he killed Tina in the bed when she was like going up the walls and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know my trauma.
Okay.
You recently came out talking about that you don't believe in God.
Yes.
No God.
Can you talk? Because we dab into religion a little bit on the podcast. We talk about our.
I'm going to pray for you.
I don't need your prayers, but thank you.
Did you grow up in that way? Is that something like you came to?
I was baptized Catholic when I was born. My mother's Cape Verdean. She's West African. They're mostly Catholics over there from colonizers.
Yeah.
And my dad is Irish and Italian, which is very,
very religious,
very Catholic. Mm-hmm. And then my mom got back into church later. And then I got rebaptized as a born again Christian. I was like 10, I guess. And then I just had a bunch of questions. Like I had a mohawk when mohawks were not cool, before Puff had his mohawk. I went to church one day with a mohawk, and it was just like, why does your daughter have a mohawk? This is... And I just felt like shamed. I was very young. I was like really into like heavy metal shit, like Pantera and Metallica and shit.
Slayer.
And you like Slayer?
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like weird about it. And I was just like, they're fucking judgy as hell. I don't want to go to church. And then... as I got older, you know, I got more logical and realistic. Like, okay, those are those people. I'm not going to take it out on just people that were just mean. Then I just started feeling like I just started really getting into science and evolution and Big Bang Theory. I like Buddhism, too.
Buddhism.
More of a philosophy than a religion. I like that. I like to meditate and stuff.
You know what's interesting about God?
What?
He believes in you, Amber.
Oh, God.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Somewhere right now, God is up there. He's going, like, crazy, Amber. I'm going to keep working.
You know what's crazy? After that came out, all the Christian Jesus freaks said I'm going to burn in hell.
Of course they did. I know. We talk about it.
This is why. I don't fuck with y'all.
That's why I'm saying we talk about it. Like, we both come from Christian backgrounds. We believe in God. But Christians make other Christians look crazy. And so I'm not shocked when someone says what you say because I get it because I know how it is on the other side. Like, I've been attacked for certain things that I've done. And I'm like, you guys, I'm one of you.
Well, yeah. But then they call me a Satan worshiper. It's like, if I don't believe in God.
You definitely don't believe in Satan.
Why would I believe in Satan?
Right.
Speaking of that, let's talk about pastors. You had a very, very famous moment with a guy named Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yes, I did.
Two things. Before we get to what they're talking about with Jesse Lee Peterson.
I need to tell you about that interview, by the way.
Please.
I'm looking this up. Hold on.
Jesse Lee Peterson is a conservative. They've asked me to come on the show a couple of times. DC went on there. You've gone on there. DC went on there and like whatever, but made a fool out of Jesse Lee Peterson. Like he is.
I don't have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?
Fan's phone always does this. It's
Siri's possessed.
I thought so.
Thank you. But like, so they've asked me to come on there a couple of times. I've never wanted to go on, but his thing is to get people on there.
Oh, and really him.
To, you know that guy. And really to, I don't know, expose, exploit, embarrass them.
Or
whatever. He's very conservative. He's, some would say he's a chauvinist, all of that. You went on there and there was this one exchange back and forth. The slut maker situation.
Yes.
Before we get into it, tell me about what you want to tell me about the interview.
Quickly. So just like I'm your first guest on here.
Yeah.
I was one of his first guests.
Okay.
Oh.
I thought I was getting punked the whole time. On my kids, I thought I was getting punked.
Right.
I didn't think it was a real thing. So I would have went so much harder on him.
Right.
But it just got to the point where, like, okay, this guy's Ashton, come on, come out. You know, like, that's what it felt like.
Because of him? Because of the questions he was asking?
So he's so obnoxious that you would never think any person on earth would be that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it was laughable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I almost felt like I would see him crack a little smile every now and then.
Uh-huh.
So for me, it was like, okay, you're falling apart over there, you know? And I really did feel like this was some type of punked show. I really did. Until I left and I saw it online, I'm like, this motherfucker was real. Yeah.
So recently, Jesse Lee Peterson, who is incredibly homophobic, transphobic, all the phobics, has been accused of several different men.
Of course.
Of being in a same-sex relationship.
Of course.
God bless him.
Ever know?
So look, there's two things here. Number one,
man.
There's nothing wrong with being in the same-sex relationship with somebody. That's not something that should be used for a gotcha or to ruin somebody's life. However, in this particular situation where someone has been so staunchly against it, when someone has been so unfeeling, unthinking, and downright evil to a specific community, it's interesting to say the least. What are your thoughts about that?
Like, he's obviously gay. Most people in pastors, priests, you know, people in the church are usually gay, and then they fight against it, and then they wind up seeing a little boy. You know what happens after that. But yeah, like politicians, like anybody that fights so hard for, like, you know, gay people to not be married, you're gay. Sorry.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah. And why do you care so much? People, if you don't give a shit, you don't give a shit. Right. I don't care about what doesn't, you know, work in my world.
Right.
He's just, you can't be that homophobic and not be gay.
So what we're, so
if that makes sense.
So obviously, and what we're talking about is the toxicity that sometimes can, not all closeted people are, because I don't want anybody to get in trouble. So not all closeted people go on to become vile homophobes or do things, but.
No, we're not talking about closeted people.
Uh-huh.
If you're in the closet, that's okay. You come out when you want to come out.
Yeah.
That's your business.
Right.
Right? We want people to feel safe in their environment when they come out.
Right.
If you are blatantly homophobic outward to the world and you have a show, right?
Yeah.
Most of the time, you know, and you've watched political, like, documentaries and stuff.
There's a whole documentary called Outrage. That it's about this very phenomenon.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they're just like, God, I'm gay, but, like, you know, I gotta kind of vote against this so I get the stupid white down south people to vote for me and shit. Like, it's a whole thing. Like, and he's a pastor. I don't know. I don't believe he's a pastor.
He's a charlatan.
I don't even know what that is. I just I'm sorry.
That's what they call like fake and fraud pastors, okay, who use Charleston, a pulpit, okay, to preach all these things, but like
he's so disgusting and disrespectful, and I'm so mad at myself for going on that show. Like I did not even need to be in that space with him. Mm-hmm. Like I honestly thought I was getting punked. I really did. I've never seen anyone so obnoxious in my life.
Mm. Mm. What's next for you? What else do you want to do? Do you want to go into maybe acting? I could see you with like a podcast. I could see you like really having a space like this where you sit down because you're so open and you're unapologetically yourself, which honestly I think is how more people should be. They should be fearless and they should just like, you're like, this is me, accept me or don't. And there's a beauty in that. And there's a confidence in that most people don't have. I could see you doing something like this. Would you do maybe like a podcast, a show?
I would do a podcast, yeah. Not right now.
Okay.
I really want to focus on my music. I'm really excited about it. And it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing better than having a job that's actually fun, mm-hmm, you know? And I enjoy it. So I'm...
Who would you do the podcast with?
Probably Marissa.
You, Marissa, maybe Brittany Renner too, the three of y'all?
No, probably just me and Marissa. I love Brittany though. Yeah. I love Brittany.
You love Brittany? What do you like about Brittany Renner?
She's unapologetically herself.
Brittany doesn't like me.
She doesn't? What'd you say about Brittany? What happened?
So here's the thing. I wasn't gonna bring it up.
We love Brittany. What happened?
Brittany's the homie.
Brittany is a little off in her take on me, to be clear.
Okay, what happened?
So this is the thing.
Uh-huh.
Rachel, sometimes
I use the word. No, let me say I use the word. I'm from Texas. Uh-huh. Okay. And I refer to Brittany as a bop. And I said, but in Texas, and Van disagrees with me, it doesn't necessarily, I'm not calling her a hoe. I'm saying she's a person who admittedly has said she goes after a certain type of guy. So in Texas, we're like, oh, that's bopping. I'm bopping on that guy because he has a nice car. I'm bopping on that guy because he's got a section at the club. I'm bopping on that guy because he's a rapper or an athlete or whatever it may be. So we're like, oh, look at her bopping over there. It doesn't necessarily, I've referred to it as myself like that, and I would never refer to myself in a negative way. So she took it as, and Van took it, he did not help, as negative. And I'm like, I don't talk down about women. I really don't. Hmm. But I use the term bopping. I mean, like I say it all the time. So that was the...
Hey, let me tell you something.
I don't know. I mean, I understand. I understand in Texas. Louisiana,
bop is...
But if you listen to Paul Wall when he's like he's like, look at those girls bopping on, and he's talking about cars. Nigga. I'm just telling you, you can't take away from me my culture of Texas. I think that it originally was what I'm telling you it is, mm-hmm, and I think that as the word grew on and it went to other places, people just interchangeably used it with as ho as a negative way. So I'm still using it originally how we used it. So maybe that I am problematic for that. Maybe I am. But I would never call a girl a ho in a negative way.
This is Van's very serious question of the week.
We've done this before.
We did this. Is bopping, is bop, does that mean a ho?
I think
if somebody called me a bop, I would feel some type of way.
I know what it means,
no, I get that other, I'm just telling you from when the word originally came out, mm-hmm, that's how we used it so freely. Like, oh, she's bopping. Oh, she's a bop. Oh, look at like it was just like that. It wasn't like so negative, but I get the connotation of it, mm-hmm, but I'm not referring to her in a negative way, but she don't like me.
Shit, now.
But also, what guy is she supposed to go after?
What do you mean?
I mean, like,
yeah, what does that mean?
I'm just saying, like, who is she? If she goes after a certain kind of guy, what kind of guy is she supposed to go after?
I mean, you mean now or back?
No, but I'm saying the way you were saying, like, Brittany is known for going after a certain type of guy, right?
Self-proclaimed. Like, right. There are videos of her being like, listen, you got to go after a guy, you know, like, oh, I go after the guy because he has this money and he needs to be doing this and this. Yes, she does.
No, she didn't.
I'm paraphrasing, but she is. No, I sent the video in the group chest. She's talking about like, if a guy doesn't do this, I'm gonna say this wrong. But no, she said, I remember
because I've been following Britney forever. Mm-hmm. She said, get with an NBA player and have a baby because they're fucking dumb and you can get a check.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me out.
But, that is true. But in her defense, right? In her defense, she said that years ago. Right. We all know as women, we're dealing with trauma from men, fucked up men that do us dirty. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was the place she was in at that moment. Then she fell in love with someone and had a baby and that person cheated on her and treated her like shit. And the world goes against her.
Oh, that I didn't touch unfair. That.
No, I'm not saying you.
Yeah,
I'm saying,
like for that situation, I'm like, I'm so team her on that. And I hate the way that people piled on her for that.
Yeah.
I just refer to. That and like that's the conversation that I was bringing up and stuff. But like we were like, come on the podcast. I would love to talk it out. She called me a pick me girl.
Pick me.
I was like, that's not me.
They really went there. It was a very like for me. It was a hilarious situation.
I was like that's not me.
It's like it's for me. It was funny because they
he loves it.
It's not that I love it. It's just that.
You don't want to see girls fighting, though.
I don't want to see girls fighting, but you know what I do like? I don't want to see girls fighting, but what I like more than anything, and you know this, what I like is the smoke right to you. I like not...
I'm super and confrontational,
Rachel
so
loves I... that. And Brittany, this is part in Black Panther at the end of the movie. Oh, no, it's actually in Civil War at the end of the movie where Okoye is standing in front of Black Widow and Black Panther goes... As much as I would like to see y'all fight, we don't have time. Because he knows that that's going to be like a good battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get in the car and they move on. That's kind of how I felt. I was like, I want to see these two match wits.
But I don't want to see a battle. I just more so, if I hurt someone's feelings or you took offense to what I said, I would love the opportunity to explain myself and let you know that's not the intention that I had behind it. So I do hate that she listened to that and thought, oh, I was coming at her to the point where she's like, oh, you're a pick me. You're trying to choose these certain men. That wasn't it at all. So I wanted her to come on. So it's like, let's talk about it.
Right.
Let's hash it out.
Yeah.
Not like, let's go at it.
I mean, I know Brittany. I talk to her often. She's definitely a feminist. It's bad enough that we hear shit from guys all fucking day.
Sure.
So for her to hear that from you, it was just like, that's the cherry on top when you get that from a woman, you know, even though you didn't mean it in that way.
No, yeah. Because like what she sent, like a picture was like a whole thing of like girls calling other girls hoes and sluts and this. Did not use the word bopper, but I was like, that's not what I meant. Mm. But I get it. That's why I was like, come on the podcast. Let's have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
I think everybody's doing good. Last question for me. I think everybody's okay. Last question for me.
Yes. You made me drive an hour and a half. This is going to be your last question.
You want to go longer?
Yeah, I want to go longer. What do you mean? I just drove an hour and a half. You asked me five questions.
We've been going for like an hour. Yeah. Just FYI.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. It's literally almost been an hour.
So let me ask you this then. Do you see anything about women who are famous or get a lot of pub, get a lot of shine on IG right now? Is there anything about the current crop of ladies that you don't like? Is there like, have you gotten to the point to where
question.
You can look at with a critical eye or what some people might be doing? You know how like basketball players go, well, you know, look at the guys coming along now. It's because you influenced a lot of these ladies. Is there any way that you feel like they're doing it wrong sometimes?
Nah. I feel like everyone's different. Everyone's different. For me, the reason why I have longevity is because I don't talk shit. I just don't talk shit. Have I had Twitter battles and shit throughout the years? Once, twice, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe three times. I don't even think three times.
Yeah.
But
I actually can't even remember. Who did you have Twitter battle with?
No, it don't even matter.
Yeah.
But, and always if they came for me. Always. Right. Like, I don't start trouble. Even the men that I've dated, y'all don't know nothing about me and 21 or me and MGK or me and Wiz or me and...
I forgot about MGK.
I forgot about MGK. Yeah.
Anyway, all I'm saying is, I don't say anything.
You slid a white boy in on us, Amber. Like,
yeah, earlier.
I forgot about MGK. When did MGK fall into the?
I want to talk about this. I'm sorry I even said anything. I was just trying to make a point that the guys that I've dated, you know, we go our separate ways, and I leave it like that. A lot of these girls are like, all over the place, you know. It gets to the point, sometimes you got to teach a motherfucker a lesson. Mm-hmm. Other times, you're just doing it just to, you know, the I'm single post on the story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm single now. Yeah. Don't do that. That's one thing I'll say, girls, don't do that.
Because that's what I was going to say. So, like, then maybe the question to ask is, what advice would you give? You see, like, a new generation coming up. Things have changed so much. I feel like the way people do put their business out so much now. Mm-hmm. And for that 15 seconds of fame, for like that viral moment, maybe that's what I should say, for that viral moment.
Yeah.
What advice would you give? Or maybe what do you hope, maybe you can answer that, but then also, and maybe this is one and the same question of just like, what do you hope with what you're doing, with what your message, with what you stand for resonates to these women?
This is the thing. Y'all gotta stop sleeping with married men. It's not cool. Mm-hmm. Y'all just gotta stop. Men too. Y'all gotta stop. Everybody gotta stop. That's why people don't wanna get married anymore. A lot of women don't wanna have babies anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We don't wanna be involved with y'all, vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, I speak for women because I'm a woman and that's what I do. Mm-hmm. But that's not just women. Guys do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's just all try to be more compassionate, more loving people, care about somebody else's feelings, move on with integrity. You know, like, even when I put that shit out about AE online, like, I was pushed to that. I couldn't fucking take it anymore. Like, that was a lesson for him. I didn't give a fuck about the internet. Mm-hmm. I was like, I told you what I was going to do, and this is what I got to do. Now I got to stick to my word. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you told him that you would tell everybody?
I told him, if you fucking play with my feelings again, it's going to be a problem. But he has a problem. He has a problem that we are working on as a family.
What do you feel like his problem is?
It's deep rooted. It's deep rooted. You know what? We have children, and we love each other, and, you know, I'm down to help, but I'm also not going to sit around and get played. I will say, since then, amazing. An open book.
That's great.
Transparent. You know, talk to the psychiatrist. We have meetings together. We talk a lot. We communicate a lot. You know, he's not weird with his phone. He's not on tour with Tyga. I don't keep nobody no prisoner. He wants to be with his family. So, you know, that's a step moving forward. And that's all I could really ask for right now. And we'll just, you know, just see how it goes. But
so those are the things, like, for him to gain your trust back after that happened, did you give him like a set of things that he would have to do, or a set
I was out. It was over for me.
But how did you get back to a point to where you guys could get back on the same page? What did that take, like, for him?
He just came over one day and was like, I changed my number. This is the password to my phone. Here's the password to my IG. I'm done with that life. I want my family. I was immature and stupid and insecure, and I should have never did that dumb shit. I regret every moment of it. And I said, I don't give a fuck. That was my initial response. I don't give a fuck. It's too late. Because when a woman is fed up, we fed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we'll try to help you, but when we're fed up, it's over. You know, and it was for me. But again, all the steps that he took and was consistent for a long time, because I know people like to think I'll just jump into another situation, but I like to take my time. And, like, you know, he was coming over, seeing the kids, and just got his life together. And I've seen very few stories of people actually doing that. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
You guys gonna get married?
Probably not. I don't want to get married again.
You don't want to get married again.
Ever. And it has nothing to do with Alex. I mean, he really, I just want to say this. A.E. is an amazing father. He's an amazing person. He just has an issue that he is working on and doing great at, you know, resolving that issue. So,
good for him. You know what? You know what's the thing? And I just want to say this. It's like, even with me, like, there wasn't anybody in my life, like growing up, like no one in my life who ever valued like fidelity. Mm-hmm. Like there wasn't like not one person in life that valued that. Right. Like, so it would be like, you know, I don't want to talk shit about my dad's gone on. I don't want to talk shit about my dad, but my dad didn't value that. I remember I was a kid and I didn't realize what a big deal this was then, but my dad and one of my uncles were on LSU's campus. Mm-hmm. And they were on LSU's campus, like, talking to women.
Yeah.
Right? Way back in the day. Don't think that my dad was, like, in his 30s. Like, this was, like, in the 80s or whatever. I remember everybody laughs and they'll tell a story that when I got back around the women, like a little narc or snitch that I was, I got back around the women would pull me to the side, and I was like 3 years old.
All kids.
And the women pulled me to the side, like, what was they doing? Like, what was it? And I was like, they was running women up there. And everybody laughs, right? And everybody laughs. I had a conversation with my dad, like, when I was like 14 or 15 years old, and I said, yo, if you were ever doing something on mom, I would tell. And I remember he told me, he was like, you shouldn't. He was like, why would you want to hurt her like that? He was like, why would you do that to her? He's like, if you do that to her, that's going to hurt her.
Right.
And then we break up and you gotta have, I'll never forget this. He said, you got to have two different Christmases. I was like, well, fuck, I certainly don't want that. Right. Right. And so when I would think about that.
Then you start lying and keeping secrets.
Of course.
Right.
And so like when I would think about that, I would think about like, you know, not trying to throw anybody under the bus, like my friend group. And everyone, there was just no one, mm-hmm. I'm not blaming on anyone. There was just no one around that went, hey, like, as a matter of fact, I have this one friend, Tommy Talley. Tommy Talley, shout out to Tommy.
Not his whole name.
Tommy, because Tommy should be proud of this. Tommy met a girl, the first girl that he ever was with. They got married, they have 5 kids.
Wow.
And that's just his thing, right?
Right.
I remember we're all around the crew and like we're talking about, because he knows my friends from Baton Rouge. And we're talking about the fact that, like, you know, Tommy went to a strip club in Vegas and that was like a big fucking thing. His wife knows, nobody's like, he was like, damn, like I felt guilty about it. Mm-hmm. And the rest of me and my guys just couldn't fucking understand that level of commitment.
Right.
And as good as we want to be and as present as we want to be sometimes, and I'm telling you, it's just, it doesn't sometimes seem, and obviously I'm learning it now and have learned it now, like before, it didn't seem like there was even the structure there for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was nothing to
build on.
There's
usually not a structure at all for most men. And so they grow up and they become womanizers like their fathers, or that's where they get their validation from. Whoever gives them the attention, and you know, mm-hmm. and so at that point, it's not even about the sex. It's about feeling secure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But getting your ego, you know, stroked.
Yeah.
And so I've seen that a lot with a lot of males that have been in my life and mm-hmm. my friends' lives and stuff like that. You know, there's not a lot of positive male role models or fathers out there.
My dad was an incredibly positive male role model.
Okay, that's
just
fine.
Just not in that, you know what I mean?
In that way.
Niggas just like to get it.
Right, but the thing of it is that he didn't have to. He could have went and been single and got it all fucking day. He didn't have to involve your mom's feelings and heart and, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, not to get too personal in your business, but... That's
talking
what
shit
we
about my dad, Amber?
That's what we go through as
my daddy
women.
Did, man. You talk shit about my dad.
And I mean that from like my atheist.
Yeah, whatever. Like, you just prayed to God. I knew I would get you. You just put the prayer hands up
because
you
know my dad is up there.
So the whole conversation was a setup.
I did it for you. Mm-hmm. It's for you and your God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all I'm saying is that men are allowed to get their hoe on. By all means, please get your hoe on and live your best life. Just don't ruin women's mental health at the same time. Y'all don't have to do that. Don't ruin our mental health. We might still let you fuck, but you don't. You could just be honest.
Yeah,
that's it. You don't gotta, involve us in a way where we're all trapped in your web while you doing this and this and this over here. Like, think before you do shit like that.
I don't have anything else. That was a great way to end the podcast.
Amber, let me tell you something right now. You enjoy being misunderstood, I can tell.
No, I don't.
You like it. You love it. But I'm happy that you're happy.
Am I misunderstood?
But I was just about to say, if anybody listens to you talk for 5 minutes, I feel like, not that I understand all of you, but you're just so open. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should be misunderstood at all. I think anybody who feels that way isn't taking the chance to get to know who you are. They're not listening to you.
I don't think I'm misunderstood.
I think she's misunderstood.
No.
I think people just don't agree with me.
That's it.
Fair enough. We appreciate you coming out. You can't tell us when the album's dropping?
I don't know.
In the fall?
Yeah.
In the fall.
Oh, so this year. We can say this year.
Yeah,
this year.
Features? Can you tell us about features?
Crazy features. Crazy.
Like
R&B?
You wouldn't even believe the features I got.
So you got an X?
No.
Okay.
Wiz ain't on the album?
Y'all, just wait and listen to the album.
No, nigga. I need the shit now.
I can't, man. I love you though.
Wiz is definitely on it. And I can tell you who else is probably on it. I can tell you three people who I know are on it.
Tell me.
Nikki's on it. These are three people who I know is on the album. Nikki's on the album for sure.
Okay.
Drake might be on the album.
Okay.
I'm waiting. Number three.
Number three to me. I think she's going to hit us with a curveball. She's going to have one of these rockers on there. Maybe Surge from System of a Down. Maybe he might be on it.
Oh, that would be tight.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for being here.
I learned today, Amber. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, you learned a lot about Amber.
I like Amber.
Amber's great.
I just love people who are unapologetically themselves. I think that she's a trailblazer in a lot of ways. I think a lot of people try to emulate what she represents, or I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, but she did it first. And so I think she has made people more comfortable being who they are and not caring about what other people think. Mm. And I love people like that.
Mm. I love her too. She's a good person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you could listen to this for 5 minutes and get that.
Yeah, good person. All right, Amber said she doesn't believe in God. God believes in Amber. God believes in all of you guys. However, we have to talk about Christians now. We have to talk about two.
Imagine if we had Amber weigh in on this. But go ahead.
We should have. Two different salvos. Shout out by some of the biggest names in ministry right now. Kimberell and T.D. Jakes. Mm-hmm. We are going to listen to them both.
Okay.
I think we should start with Pastor Jakes, don't you think so?
Yes, we should start with
Bishop Jakes. Let's start with Bishop T.D. Jakes and what he had to say about what he feels like the role of women in contemporary society is and should be.
This breaks all sociological order to the culture we're living in now. Because we are raising up women to be men. And you are not applauded for your femininity. You are applauded in the contemporary society by how tough, rough, nasty, mean, aggressive, hateful, possessive you are, and you are climbing the corporate ladder, but we are losing our families. I I know you can buy your own car. I know you can buy your own house. But until you create a need that I can pour into, I have no place in your life. So stop coming home bragging to me about how much you don't need me and wonder why I shy away. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk back to me this morning.
He ain't talking to me.
He's speaking on your behalf.
No, he isn't. He's talking directly to you, career obsessed man women. You man women out there. I love Bishop Jakes. I think
you're a big fan. Big fan.
I like Bishop Jakes. So I'll be honest with you. During the pandemic, when I was in my depression, I would listen to Bishop Jakes.
Hmm.
I would listen to his messages. I think he has an anointing on him.
Mm.
I've always felt that way. I've never been to the church. I don't know the man.
I have.
You've been to the church.
Okay. But keep going. He's anointed. He says he's got an anointing on him. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, just because you're anointed doesn't mean that you're perfect, Rachel.
No. So for you, somebody who feels that strongly, I want to hear from you. You mm-hmm. feel that strongly about T.D. Jakes to where, which I mean, honestly, in all seriousness, if that's somebody that you listen to who helped you overcome what you were battling and get you to the other side of it, then I'm never going to take that away from you. However, when you feel that strongly in such a positive way about someone and then you hear them say these things for you, because I'm not coming into this already from a necessarily positive place. For you, when you hear that, how do you feel?
I feel like he's wrong. I think that, let me put it to you this way. I think the sentiment is, there's really no way for me to fucking, it's all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong from the standpoint that it centers the man in a relationship to a degree that I feel like is unhealthy for families.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what he's saying right now is actually more unhealthy for families than the dynamic that he's trying to lay out. He's laying out a dynamic in which a man feels emasculated, or a man feels minimized or in some way small because his wife or his woman or his fiance or whatever boast about and can produce the evidence that she doesn't need him. Okay. And therefore it's in some way the shared need of people that makes good families. I don't think that that's the case. I think that what makes good families isn't a shared need. It's not that you need a man and that a man needs a woman. It's that you want a man and a man wants a woman. I think the want is in relationships is the most important thing. What do you want to achieve? Because the want is what allows you to overcome things. The want is what allows you to build things. The want is what allows you to plan and stay on track for things. It's not that I need you. I don't need to feel like you need me. I need to know that you want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know that you want to contribute. I need to know that you want all of these things. And that to me is the thing that you can't keep coming back to, because you fall in and out of love all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that keeps you, in my opinion, tethered is how you want your life to be, mm-hmm. like what you see your life as. And so the moment that you start talking like he's talking about, that's saying that I need your life and how you feel to validate the reason why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see how that is positive.
Well, he made it seem like women can't be both. Women can't be into their careers, dedicated to their careers, and then also at the same time equally be dedicated to their men. He said women being raised to be men, as if it is a man's job to pursue those things and to be that dedicated to their career. I saw somebody in the comments say, is this the new Kevin Samuels? And that stuck with me, because What's the difference between what T.D. Jakes was saying in that moment versus some of the things that Kevin Samuels said?
I think there's a small difference.
I don't. And I think the only reason people are making a difference is because he is T.D. Jakes and he's preaching from a pulpit, which I think makes it even more problematic. He doesn't get a pass because he's preaching from a pulpit. I think you hold somebody like that to an even higher standard. And the fact that when someone's standing in that place and they're preaching and they're anointed from God and they're saying those things, people hold on to it like it's Bible, like it's biblical, like it's a word from God. So to preach in that problematic way and almost put women down in an effort to build men up because you feel like a man is supposed to play this role in a household versus a woman. And if a woman is doing this, then she's trying to be a man,
yeah,
is so deeply problematic, that which is why, not because he preached that sermon, he never resonated with me. I went to the Potter's House, mm-hmm, when I was trying to find a church home after I left college, mm-hmm, and I was taken aback at how much the church was about T.D. Jakes instead of church. I didn't like that his name was in the carpet. I didn't like that there was a separate section for the famous people and he was calling them out. It felt very self-serving to me, yeah, to the point where I felt so disgusted that I was like, I never went back.
Right.
And to me, this sermon feels very self-serving. And you have daughters, you have a wife. And yeah, if I'm sitting in the audience and I'm listening to that, I don't know if he has daughters. I know he has a daughter. I don't know if he has two. That would be very disheartening for me.
I understand. I think the difference between the Kevin Samuels thing is, I think that you could make the argument that T.D. Jakes, in what he's saying with this particular message, is attacking women's self-worth. I think you can make that argument. I think Kevin Samuels did it very blatantly. I think Kevin Samuels very blatantly, like, dehumanized women. I think he said, hey, if you're this age and you're this, you're not worth this. So my whole problem with Kevin Samuels was the fact that he would look at another human being and then sum up their worth for them as if he was God. Now, from the way Kevin Samuels was looking at it, he would say, oh, this is what society wants. I don't think it was his place to speak on it like that. I think it's particularly vile to do it to Black ladies, who America kind of lessens their worth anyway. But so I think for what Bishop Jakes was doing, my problem with it is that with the responsibility, to your point, that he has in the community, I think he has a responsibility to look at the world as it is and then talk to people in a more inspirational, fulfilling, and realistically anointed way.
And he did that.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. He talked about people, in my opinion, the way he talked about people was the way he was talking about the way T.D. Jakes looks at society.
Exactly. And he did it on Father's Day. This is a Father's Day sermon. This is purposeful. Yeah. It's intentional. And
pump up guys. Hmm? Trying to pump up, man. It's like come on, it's like T.D. Jakes.
Stop. I'm not gonna do it. Fellas. After we just had, Amber Rose on here, who was empowering women and having them stand up for, and represent themselves. And then we got to follow it with this take from T.D. Jakes, who was trying to take all that back. Because I just don't, it was something he said, and I wish I had a transcript of that whole snippet, but he talked about how when women are in that role, they're angry and he said some of those words, and it's like, how are you equating those two for a woman who's just trying to provide and take care of her, or pursuing her goals? Mm-hmm. It made me wonder, are there female pastors at the Potter's House?
No, I've never been.
Because it almost seems like he would be against that as well. Mm. It just, to me, he conflated certain issues, which is why it became, you don't want to use the word, but I'll use it, problematic.
Yeah. I don't want to use the word because the word is like overexposed.
You always do that when it has a meaning. If it's fucking problematic, it's problematic. Like, it is what it is.
All right, let's talk about Kim Burrell. Kim Burrell is also a titan in the ministry. She had some stuff to say about ugly people. Donnie, give it to me.
You got to choose up. If find you some value. You know, sometimes before we get friends, we have to do an interview. How long have you been broke? How many times have you changed your name on your light bill? How many of your bills in your little cousin's name? Do you live in a trailer home or a house? You know, you understand. And it's not about status or material things. It's just about choices. You know, life is different now. And, you know, we are at church. Thank God we're here. Those of us who are walking by faith without a mask and no vaccine. And so we honor the Lord. God is good. I respect all of the men of God here and respect you. Can y'all clap so I don't feel strange right about now? Hopefully we'll get a chance to meet each other when y'all invite me to come to your church. I'm not as expensive as I seem. And so, I don't know, maybe you got a little leftover from your PPP loan. Prayer, praise, and power. You understand? Amen. Isn't the Lord great? Amen. Amen. And so, you know, I like coming here because the ground is already tilled with great personality like Dr. Karn. Because one thing I love about him, he's deep in the word, but he knows how to have great humanity. And most don't understand his personality because he is truth personified. And he tells the type of truth that makes most uncomfortable. Because who likes to be told you're just ugly? No one likes to be told that, you know, especially when they have realized it. All right. Most don't get offended until they know the bad thing about themselves. And then somebody else recognizes and says, oh, I saw the ugly too. I just wanted to let you know. So anyway, y'all get that later. God is great. All of you are beautiful. I haven't chosen anyone to be ugly yet. God is good. God is great. Y'all look great. Most of you have on hats covering most of that anyway. Here's to you.
Is Kim okay? Is Kim okay? And I needed context for this because I don't understand where this came from. I don't understand the start of this speech. I don't understand the middle, and I don't understand the end. I don't understand why she started talking about this. It's just like she started talking out the side of her neck. It didn't make any sense. Why was she standing up there? Where was this going? Was this a sermon? Was this a speech? Was this an introduction? I'm unclear. But all I can gather from that is Kim okay? Is she okay?
No, Kim's not okay. Kim's definitely not okay. So, look, we've had a lot of conversations on this podcast about what we feel like the responsibility of leaders in the church is. We talked about Pastor Carl Lentz one time. We talked about Pastor Carl Lentz, who, of course, I'm biased because I know Pastor Carl. Talked to Pastor Carl a lot in the past. Made some mistakes in his personal life.
Sure.
Made some mistakes in his personal life, and he was stripped of his leadership role with Hillsong. Mm-hmm. We've since learned that there are a lot of fucking problems at Hillsong.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Pastor Carl, I thought, was treated harshly. You and other people have made the point to me that when you're a leadership position in the church, more is expected of you.
Sure.
And because of that, you're held to a different standard. I can understand that, although I disagree. I think that grace should be shown no matter what position you have. I think that God shows grace. But I understand the argument. I'm not trying to relitigate it. I feel like there's a situation there where we're looking at somebody's failing and talking about whether or not it is acceptable to the congregation that supports them. That is one thing. Mm-hmm. What I'm listening to right now from Kim Burrell mm-hmm. is literally Satan's work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I am not the person that's in any moral standing or any moral position to judge somebody or to make an assessment of their character. But from what I understand about my faith as I grew up, and about as I've practiced it, as I've connected with people about it, this is the devil's work. First of all, God sees the beauty, the harmony, and the excellence in people. Ugly commenting on people's financial status right. In these unprecedented economic times with so much uncertainty is a gross misuse of her pulpit and platform.
Absolutely.
Like, I can't describe to you how impossibly evil all of these words are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stand up at somebody's church, look out, and call the people ugly. If we have in a comedy show, we're going there to laugh, then we're going there to laugh. There are people that are in a church congregation.
That's what it felt like.
That are going there. She's trying to be funny. She's trying to be funny. There are people that are going to a church congregation that are going there because they feel ugly, because they feel unloved, because they feel unwanted, because they feel untethered from the rest of society or from people. There are people that are in a church that are there because their last chance for connection or acceptance or community is God. There are people that have dealt with addiction. There are people that have dealt with abuse. There are people that have dealt with financial issues. And their hope, their last hope for some sort of peace on this word, on this earth, is God. Mm-hmm. God represents that to them.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, hey, doesn't matter what position or situation you find yourself in, come to me. I'll wrap my arms around you and make it all better.
Right.
That's God at his best. That's us at our best when we translate that word of God to somebody. You can't stand in that position and tell the people how ugly they are. You can't stand in that position and tell the people how broke they are. You can't do that. If you want to tell them they're not doing right, then tell them they're not doing right and tell them what they got to do to get back on the right track.
Right.
But you can't stand in that spot and tell the people that are broken and are looking for the most powerful entity in the universe to help fix them and put them back together so we can build better communities that they're ugly. I was offended. And to be honest with you, in my opinion, it's demonic.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, doing that right there in that way is demonic.
Well, it also makes you wonder, this can't be a one-off, right? That's why I ask you, is Kim okay? Is this a one-off? Is she having some type of episode? Because that's what it felt. It was so off and illogical and didn't make any sense. And she wasn't even getting a reaction from the people in the audience. They seemed just as shocked, which is why she was like, can I get a hand clap so I don't feel like I'm by myself up here? It was very... I've only heard her sing. I've never heard her speak in that way.
That's what she's known for, more so singing.
Right. So... it, to me, all I kept thinking as I was standing up there watching that, and sorry, that coupled with T.D. Jakes in that moment, I'm not going to speak on him as a pastor as a whole, but the Bible constantly warns you of false prophets and charlatans.
Yeah.
And in that moment, that's exactly what she was. There will be some people who, there are people who, as you say, come to church as their last hope. There are also people in that audience who will believe every single thing that comes out of those people's mouths because they feel they're anointed and of God. And as it might be off, it might not make sense, it might be wrong, but they will take it as Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you really have to pay attention, one, to what's being said up there and really know things, what you believe for yourself, biblically or whatever morally it may be, because you might fall into traps listening to someone who I agree with you, completely demonic in that moment.
Sure, sure.
And that's what's scary about these two examples that we talked about today, because imagine if everybody in that audience takes that as the word and goes and practices that.
See, but that's why I feel like, just like everything else, we should have like a, I'm an ageist. We should have an age limit on being up there. Man, Bishop Jakes.
Oh, so you think he's senile?
No, I didn't say he was senile. Well, I'm saying he's out of touch.
I don't think you have to be out of touch to get that message right. I'm sorry.
Well, we got to pull people in. Look, I'm not saying anything. I'm saying to me, as a, I'm not going to call myself a man of God. I'm going to tell a guy who's searching for God. I was upset in the moment that the Black church had this weekend. I'm upset about it. All right, we're going to go. We had a great interview with Amber Rose. We have tons of other topics. We're going to go. But before we go, Donnie, do me a favor. Cue up. Donnie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Donnie, listen, seriously. Number one, you haven't updated us at all about the snake. You haven't updated.
I'm still not home
at all. Nah,
I'm still in Jacksonville.
You know what? How about this?
I'm headed back to Atlanta tomorrow.
How about this then? How about this? On God, if you're not gonna be able to keep the storylines going, then we don't really need to have them, Donnie, because the reality is, is people going to the Soulless Jackals are going nuts. They're going nuts trying to figure out what's up with the snake. All right, and then what's going on with the rabbit situation?
Keeping them in suspense.
Keeping them in suspense.
Strategy.
All right, before we leave, I want to leave on the some really, really like incredible words from Kevin Gates. I'm not even gonna talk about him. I just want you guys to hear him. Kevin Gates was on Carisha Please Revolt. Shout out to Puff, where he opened up about the time that he fucked his cousin. He didn't know it was his cousin. But then his grandma told him it was cousin, his cousin, as grandmas will do. This was Kevin Gates' response.
So you ready for the smoke?
I don't want no smoke, but I ain't turning none down.
Did you really fuck your cousin?
She pulled me to the side and said, baby, that's your cousin. I ain't about to stop.
What? Like, is you really like that or are you just...
I want to stick my whole tongue in this bitch ass. I want to suck her asshole in my mouth, stick my whole tongue in, then I twirl the bitch.
That's what you're going to leave him on?
Yeah, I mean, it's Baton Rouge shit. Yeah.
Is he from Baton Rouge? I thought he was from New Orleans.
Nah, he went to McKinley. He's from...
I got to tell you, women were going crazy over this. And I mean that, and I say that in a positive way.
I'm sure they were.
Women were going crazy over the sexual things that Kevin Gates was talking about and how open he was with the things that he likes to do. Women were losing it.
First of all, I got nothing but love for Kevin Gates, Breadwinners Association. I guess my question is, was he saying he was going to do that to like a woman, or was that specifically about the cousin?
I think that was to any woman that he is having sex with.
Also the cousin, though.
Also the cousin. He said he'd been doing it for a while. Why was he going to stop? Just because he knew that they had already started it. So why not keep going at this point? That was what he said.
Can I ask you a question? I want to get Donnie on this because Donnie looks like he would be into some shit like this. Can I ask you guys a question? Because at first I was a little bit shocked, as I am every time I hear that. But does Kevin Gates have a point?
Well,
Donnie?
About the cousin situation? Why would he stop?
Right.
He had, and choose my words carefully. He has a point. There is a point to be made.
Okay. Let's just clip that and put that out there.
Donnie! No. Let me back it up. It's because I get the why would I stop? Like, what's done is done. He's already done it.
Donnie, I wasn't expecting it.
I knew he was going to go there. I know it was gonna
Donnie,
go there.
There
I keep
is
trying to tell you,
huge difference.
Donnie's a fucking freak.
Before grandma, he didn't know she was just another girl. Then it changes. Now you have certain knowledge. Now you know. Now you know.
Okay.
Well, there's a difference.
Yeah.
But apparently, Donnie, to you, it doesn't matter.
Let me ask you a question, Rachel. What if you found out right now that old Dr. Abs was your cousin?
I'm done. I'm disgusted. I couldn't see him the same way.
If you found out right now was your cousin,
I would be disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
But what is he first, second? Well, I know first. Is he second, third, fourth?
He's going to be like a cousin, like a Colombian cousin from like...
Like an 8, 10?
Probably like a 7, 6.
Oh, we good.
A 6. What's the line? Third?
No,
fourth?
No, third, fourth, and fifth are too close. I think
fifth
I have
is
to.
Too,
I think
so
I have to
six
think,
is okay, but fifth
think,
is too close.
I think I have to draw the line somewhere between 5 and 6.
Can you guys hear me in the control room? You guys can't. We can't hear you on the show, can we? I have to ask the control room something. I'm going to relay what they're. How many people are in there right now? So I need a vote real quick before we go. It's four people in the control room.
I right want to say no, but like if they're that far back, I'm just going to be real. And I'm married to you already?
It's four people in the control room. Does Kevin Gates have a point?
No,
it's
unanimous.
It's a unanimous no.
Van, you answer.
I got to be honest with you. I was on the other side of it. Because when he was talking about licking, sucking, and spinning.
Everybody gets the same treatment.
I thought he was talking about the cousin.
He is.
But I thought he was directly talking about the cousin, which was disturbing. But there is a certain degree of logic to what it is that he's saying. At this point, what damage can be done? The damage is already done. Right, Donnie?
Well, now you know. You could have operated in a place of, I didn't know. Now you can't say that anymore. You know you're a cousin fucker.
We gotta go. Take your thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. I'm Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.